The American walks every day, normal, going to work. He's walking downtown in Manhattan, and all of a sudden, two planes hit the Twin Tower, and they have no clue why would somebody do such a thing.
Deliberate and deadly attacks, which were carried out yesterday against our country, were more than acts of terror. They were acts of war.
Radical Islam has declared the war. Radical Islam is at war now with the West.
When I saw the second airplane hit, I knew jihad had come to an end.
This is Global Patriot Radio.
The Vito Esposito Show with Big Al, starring the godfather of Global Patriot Radio, the dawn of dissenting discussion, the Italian infidel himself, Vito Esposito. Him and his hitman, Big Al, are here to whack the leftists, shake down the Democrats, and put out a contract on all the jihadis that are messing with the American family. And if you got what it takes to be a wise guy, you can get made right here on the show by dialing 319-527-6706. So, get ready to go to the mattresses and say, Mamma Mia, no Sharia, because Vito and Big Al are going to give you a radio show you can't refuse.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call-in number tonight at every Global Patriot Radio night is 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that notebook eating American lover, Al. Good evening, Al. How you doing?
Good evening, Vito. How are you doing? Happy Easter to you and yours. I hope you had a good one.
Thank you, and happy Passover to you and yours as well.
Why, thank you.
I hope you enjoying.
Huh? Yep. Did the Secret Service bunny come to your house?
Yeah, the Secret Service bunny, and it looked like the buffoon had like a deer in headlights when he saw the Easter bunny. They shouldn't scare the old guy like that.
Yeah, well, if you haven't seen the video yet, just Google President Biden Easter Bunny, and you'll see footage of President Biden talking to some kids in a weird way, and then all of a sudden, an Easter Bunny in full costume comes out, goes straight to the president, starts waving his bunny hands to get the president's attention to lead him over to another part of the lawn. And our president had a deer in the headlights look, no pun intended, and problem averted.
Deer in headlights. I mean, you know, hey, get that shiny thing and wave it in front of him. I'm watching it again on Twitter, and it's like,
God save our republic, because you know our enemies are watching this.
Oh, my God. It's just, he is so pathetic. I mean, it's such a disgrace. I mean, the Democrat Party is riddled with these frauds. But hey, a happy belated Easter and a happy Passover to you and your family, and to our listeners out there. And I hope you had a nice Easter. And Al, did you color eggs?
No, but I did have a hard-boiled egg for dinner Saturday night, and that was very delicious. Yes,
I had one for lunch today. So there.
Yeah, it was a colored egg. It came naturally colored. Oh, that's who just laid it.
Can you say colored egg? Is that racist?
No, you cannot. This is a dark brown egg at that. Oh. So dark bread, dark brown eggs lives really don't matter that much because you end up eating them.
I know.
Delicious.
Okay, so today is the official April 15th tax day. It's the last day to file your taxes. You have until 11:59 p.m. today to get your taxes filed and or file an extension. The confiscation of Americans' wealth is center in Washington, D.C. They want your money. You gotta do these charades like get student loan debt free and get your free Biden phone and pass out phones and stuff to illegal aliens. I mean, so pay your taxes today and make sure that you get it in there. egg of color might be acceptable. Thank you, Big. We'll have to remember that now. Remember, it's egg of color. So did you get an egg of color?
I got yolk on my face.
Ooh. PGA news. Hey, if you're a PGA fan of the PGA, what a great tournament. The week after the Masters. I mean, the Masters are first major for the PGA. This past weekend, Thursday through Sunday, the PGA was at RBC Heritage Tournament. It was played at Harbortown Golf Links in Hilton Head, South Carolina. It's the traditional tournament week following the Masters. Jordan Spieth birdies the 72nd hole on Sunday to set the target at 13 under par. There are five players lurking either at 12 or 13 under, including Shane Lowry, Harold Varner III, Patrick Cantlay, Sepp Straka from Austria, and Erik Von Rooyen. Shane Lowry is tied for the lead. He gets to the par 3 14th hole. Now, he pulls his tee shot left, and he has to chip out of a waste area onto the green. You know, no big deal, except on the other side of the green, there's water. There's a big lake. So the natural bailout for the pros when they hit their tee shot is to kind of aim a little bit left so you don't go into the water. So he pulls it into the waste area, Shane Lowry. He has a beautiful chip. The ball rolls and it rolls onto the green and it rolls past the hole and now it rolls down the hill and it keeps rolling. And all of a sudden it hits the fringe area of the green and it's like, this thing isn't stopping. It rolls into the water. Boom! Into the water. He's tied for the lead. Bango, double bogey. It's like, whoa, what just happened here? And it's like, didn't see that coming. I don't think he did either. Actually, he had a really good shot. So four players get to the 18th hole, one shot back or tied with Jordan Spieth, who's already done now. He's already finished his round 25 minutes earlier. Shane Lowry is sitting at 12 under. He needs to birdie 18 to tie to force a playoff. He pars the hole. It hits his approach shot in the trap, gets out of the trap, one putts. He's done. Harold Varner III, who is sitting at 12 under as well, this poor guy, he can't get off of the 12 under number. He falls back to 11 during the round. He gets back to 12. He needs a birdie to on the 18th to tie. He knocks the ball. His approach shot's like 30 feet to the left of the pin. He hits a beautiful putt. It catches the edge of the cup, rolls on by. Boom, he pars the hole. He's done. Sepp Straka sitting at 12 under. He needs to birdie the 18th hole. Hitches a approach shot in the hazard area, just below the red line. So he's got to chip up past the hole. He ends up bogeying the hole. He's out of it. Patrick Cantlay, he birdies 17 to get the 13 under, and he's tied with Spieth. So now we know we could have a playoff, or we could have a winner, and that is if Cantlay birdies 18th hole, he wins the tournament. Cantlay hits a great approach shot. He's like 18 feet, 15 to 18 feet. All he has to do is drain the putt, and he wins. Cantlay misses. He pars the hole. So now it's a tie, okay? And I know Holger's having heart palpitations. He can't talk. He's sweating so much. He's beside himself because one of his favorite players is Jordan Spieth. So now we've got a playoff between Patrick Cantlay and Jordan Spieth, who's going for his 13th PGA Tour win. Most important, the poor guy hasn't been putting worth a damn the last year. I mean, his game has just been okay, and he didn't putt well at all this weekend. I mean, he missed an 18-incher. He tried to slap it in at horseshoe, boom. Okay, so everybody's talking about that, and you know he's still pissed about that. What happened on Saturday on the last hole? So both Cantlay and Spieth hit their drives. Spieth is like 204 yards out. Can't believe he's that far back. Hits a very weak 3-wood. Cantlay is 157 yards out. 175 yards out. Spieth hits his approach shot in the bunker. It rolls up almost to the front of the bunker. Cantlay hits. He's got the doors wide open. Patrick Cantlay hits a 9-iron, same club he hit from virtually the same distance in regulation. He hits it short. Wind picks up, knocks the ball down. It ends up in the same bunker, but it's a fried egg. So it's almost like it's plugged. Now, that's a tough shot. Now, if Spieth can get the ball onto the green and close to the pin and at least par the hole, it's going to make it for a tough approach, you know, a tough bunker shot for Cantlay. So Spieth is up first. The ball's up by the lip. He blasts out of the bunker, hits a beautiful bunker shot. He's got very little room to work with, but with that kid's talent, that young man's talents, it's not going to be an issue. And sure enough, it isn't. He knocks it to like 6 inches from the cup, taps it in for a par. So now it's up to Cantlay. Cantlay has got a fried egg. He's got a tough shot. Cantlay blasts out of the bunker, and the ball just, it goes by the pin, and it goes about 30 feet past the hole. Very, very tough. He's got an outside shot to make a par. Cantlay's a good putter. He's a very good putter, especially under pressure. And Cantlay misses the putt. Jordan Spieth wins. I mean, it was a cool tournament, wasn't it, Al? I mean, did you watch it all the way to the end? Because I'll tell you, it was a fun tournament to watch.
Oh, it was great all the way to the side by side bunker shot was great. And Spieth's bunker shot was not as easy as you seem to think it is. Right on the lip like that, there's no room for air. He's got to get it up immediately over a big lip. The fried egg, for those who don't play golf, imagine a golf ball in the bottom of a crater with sand all around it, so you can't hit it with your club very easily. And that's what a fried egg, that's one of the hardest. That is one of the hardest bunker shots known to mankind is a fried egg. So it was very exciting.
I'll tell you, the funny thing was, who would have thought that Spieth, because I turned it on and it's like, holy crap, Spieth is right at the top. I mean, and then he bogeys, he missed a short putt again. It's like, God almighty. And then he birdied, and then he went a couple of pars, and then the 18th hole, he gets there and he birdies the 18th hole. It's like, in regulation, it's like, damn, what the heck just happened here? And it was just, it was fun to watch. And I'll tell you, Shane Lowry, I know, is kicking himself because that guy, it looked like he was going to run away with the tournament at one point. And same with Van Rooyen. I got to say, give kudos to Holger on that one because Holger predicted right about the fifth hole where Van Rooyen looked really solid and he was going to melt, and he did. And the poor guy folded. I think he ended up 3 shots back. He just had a terrible, terrible finish. Oh.
Yeah, but he's not going anywhere. He's a damn good golfer for a Viking, so he'll be back.
I mean, that guy's got a hell of a swing. And Harold Varner III, great tournament. He's knocking on the door. He is going to win this year. He's getting the taste of what it's like to be at the top and under pressure. And it's not going to be long. That kid's going to win, man. He's a good player.
And then there's even more trouble afterwards. After the congratulations were done, Mama Spieth comes running up very quickly with baby Spieth nestled tightly in her arms like a football, and she was running, and poor little baby Spieth's head bouncing, bouncy, 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 bouncy. And it created a whole new market for the Baby Spieth bobbleheads. And I'm sure that Holger will want one because it's going to be a big selling item. So nothing goes unnoticed on national TV.
No, that was kind of
Secret Service Easter Bunny, and you've got the Spieth baby bobblehead coming to stores near you.
You know, I'll tell you, when I saw her running out, first of all, I didn't realize that she had a frontal carry. You know, I thought she was just holding the baby up to her, but still, you're running with the baby, and what if you trip? I mean, oh my God. It's like, what are you doing? I mean, I know you're excited, but oh my gosh, you had a baby in your arms.
I was having a cringe moment, but it turned into a thing. Yeah, so I'm first in line to get my baby Spieth baby bobblehead.
Well, congratulations to Jordan Spieth.
Yeah, but if I ask Jordan to sign the bobblehead, I may get a Will Smith to my face. So,
yeah, right.
So I don't recommend doing that.
Hey,
if
I gotta say
so
this.
Inclined. Yeah.
So you know that you were talking about, you know, Biden and the rabbit, right? The bunny, Easter bunny.
The Secret Service Easter bunny. Yeah.
Secret Service Easter bunny. So somebody posted about a half hour ago on Twitter, okay, a picture of Biden with the deer in headlights looking at the Easter Bunny with the Easter Bunny's hands up, don't shoot, no, with the hands up, and now this guy's pretty clever. He goes, why Harvey, is that you? Now, if you remember Jimmy Stewart, the movie back from the 40s called Harvey. It's an absolute classic. If you ever get a chance to rent it on Netflix or watch it on TCM channel, it's called Harvey. It's a comedy. It's black and white. It's one of the funniest James Stewart movies. And Harvey's about an invisible bunny, an invisible rabbit. So it's just, I thought it was very, very clever. Why Harvey? Is that you?
Well, Holger did say that Jordan Spieth, rather than having a big celebration and popping champagne to show what a classy individual that he is that he spent 20 minutes signing autographs for 8 to 12-year-old outside before he went to celebrate. That is a very classy move. It's either have it or you don't. Yeah.
He promised the kids that when he was done with the round, he knew he would be either tied for the lead, and if somebody was to beat him, you know, on the 18th hole, he would go back out and sign autographs, or he'd have to wait until after the playoff. And he promised the kids, if it's a playoff, I'll sign your autographs after the playoff. And he stayed true to his word. Classy.
Good to see.
Yep.
Very classy.
Breaking news. A federal judge struck down the U.S. mask mandate for airplanes, airports, and public transit, ruling the CDC exceeded its authority. And it's about time. Congratulations. And I love the tweet from Audrey Russo from AudreyRusso.com. A huge salute and thank you to Judge Catherine Kimball Mizell. Your righteous judgment has set millions free, I know. At Governor Ron DeSantis will further express America's gratitude. God bless President Trump who appointed her. Hash brown, God bless President Trump who appointed her. So the CDC, it's been ruled, has overstepped their authority, which finally, the judges have are starting to fight back. A federal judge in Florida has voided the national mask mandate covering airports, planes, and other public travel, the AP reported on Monday. The decision Monday by U.S. District Judge Catherine Kimball Mizell in Tampa also said the Centers for Disease Control, the CDC, and prevention improperly failed to justify its decision and did not follow proper rulemaking. Supplies. The CDC recently extended a mask mandate until May the 3rd, although it was set to expire April 18th. The excuse provided was the CDC needed more time to study the BA.2 Omicron sub-variant of the subvariant of the coronavirus. You know, again, here we go. We have another issue with control and instill fear by the federal government who unilaterally imposes their edicts. And I'll tell you, thank God for this judge. And it's about time that things start changing. And what's your take on it, Al?
Well, as a scientist, Vito, I can tell you with absolute authority that a virus is 0.001 to 0.005 micron small. That is very tiny. And a mask can only block something 100 to 500 times bigger like dust. So a mask is useless for stopping a virus in all cases. So the mask is nothing, which they didn't really go into. So the CDC is trying to condition people for reasons of their own doing, which means that the CDC, it's time for them to get cleaned out when we get a Republican in office.
Yeah, the CDC continues to insist that cloth and surgical masks are effective despite a plethora of national data that shows this is not the case. In late February, Senator Rand Paul vowed to fight the mask mandate for public transportation. U.S. Senator Rand Paul from Kentucky announced that he would force a vote on his resolution to repeal travel mask mandates on public transportation. This vote will take place in the U.S. Senate when the U.S. Senate returns to session. Since March 2020, unelected bureaucrats have incessantly declared that we should follow the science. But the same bureaucrats continue to defy science by imposing an ineffective and restrictive mask mandate for individuals traveling on public transit and airplanes. As the entire world is learning to live with COVID, the federal government still uses fear-mongering to stubbornly perpetuate its mandates rather than giving clear-eyed, rational advice on how to best protect yourself from illness. That is why I'm forcing a vote to repeal travel mask mandates on public transportation and put a stop to this anti-science nanny state requirement, Dr. Rand Paul. Boom. Beautiful.
And our transportation secretary, Mayor Buttigieg, is nowhere to be found in any of the news stories, at least this one that we're reporting on.
He's probably at home breastfeeding his new child.
He brought the Secret Service bunny to his house to entertain his two children.
Oh, jeez.
But I speculate. I don't know that to be true.
It's absolutely ridiculous. Oh, wait. Sue's got her hand up. Let's put Sue on. Hold on a second here. Let's get Sue here. Good evening, Sue.
Hey.
How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing fine. If you want to know where Buttigieg is, he traveled with Meghan Markle and Harry I guess you call him
Potter?
Prince Harry.
Prince
He's on the Invictus Gate. Yeah, he traveled with them and has been taking his picture over there with the Markle.
For what purpose?
That's where he's at.
Yeah, why would the transportation secretary be with Meghan Markle? I mean, we have issues of transportation issues in the United States. We have high gas prices, and this guy is still nowhere to be found, and he's out there, you know, lollygagging around the world with famous people. Was that right?
Yeah. Well, evidently, the Markles couldn't get their security paid, and so they're traveling, and the U.S. is picking up their security tab. Nice, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, very nice.
And she's hooked up really big with the Democratic Party right now, supporting Biden and all this stuff, and supposedly she's going to be running for the Senate. God help us all. Anyway,
Meghan
I just wanted
Markle?
To let you know where Buttigieg was.
Meghan Merkel's going to be running for the Senate or House?
That is what you're saying, and she has said all along, well, you know, she said she wants to be president. But, yeah, she's getting very political, and there's a lot of stuff going on because she's still doing, you know, I'm the Duchess of Sussex. She's riding off of that royal title. But, of course, you know, you can't do that, get into politics and use, you know, the royal title like that. That's a big no-no with England. So there's a big thing going on about that. But anyway, I just wanted to let you know where this POS is.
Well, thank you. Well, thank you for the update.
Dude, such language.
Yeah, I know. I'm my dad today. Okay.
I love it.
See you later. Bye.
Bye, Sue. So Mayor Buttcheeks is traveling around with Meghan Markle and Prince Harry. I mean, what a piece of work. I mean, the priorities of this administration, of this regime, is truly astonishing. I mean, they have, you know, from the border czar who has not visited the border, who could give a crap about the border. We have 210,000 illegal aliens were arrested last month. Heavens knows how many thousands or more have penetrated the border. We already know that 2 million illegal aliens at least have poured through the border. You've got terrorists, Islamic terrorists pouring through the border, you know, Iranian nationals being arrested and Yemeni terrorists being arrested. And 5 more were arrested. 23 have been detained. I mean, it's incredible. The negligence of the Biden-Harris regime is treasonous. And Biden-Harris regime should, every one of them, including Mayor Pete Buttcheeks, should be in Gitmo, you know, for treasonous activities. And throw in Nancy Pelosi in there as well, because this is what they're doing to this constitutional republic is just downright despicable. It's reckless. It's irresponsible. And frankly, it's un-American. And, you know, why is Mayor Buttcheeks traveling around with Meghan Markle and Prince Harry? And we have chain issues. We have supply chain issues. We have gas price issues. People can't afford gas anymore. I mean, I was talking to a relative yesterday. They spend, okay, they spent this year 195 gallon tank of oil, okay, was $5 a gallon. It cost them $1,037 with tax. And just in November of 2020, that same 195 gallon tank cost them $375. Now, you tell me how a senior citizen on a fixed income, which a typical oil tank is 200 gallons, thereabouts, how a senior citizen can afford a $700 increase in oil, fuel, heating oil for their house. How can they? And that's if they, that's a one-time fill-up. I mean, if they use it even more, that's even more. But $5 a gallon is what they're paying now for heating fuel oil. That's despicable. That's disgusting. And then you have Mayor Pete Buttcheeks, the Secretary of Transportation, hobnobbing around with celebrities and not doing his fucking job while Americans are suffering as a result of the feckless policies of Biden-Harris. Despicable, absolutely despicable. Southwest CEO Gary Kelly testified to the Senate that, I think the case is very strong that masks don't add much, if anything, in the air cabin environment. It is very safe and very high quality compared to any other indoor setting. Not done. Doug Parker, the American Airlines CEO, agreed with that assessment. I concur, Parker said. An aircraft is the safest place you can be. It's true of all our aircraft. They all have the same HEPA, HEPA filters and airflow. And yet this unelected government body wants to dispute, okay, the experts. The CDC continues to insist that cloth and surgical masks are effective despite a plethora of national data that shows this is not the case. Disgusting. It's disgusting. It's about, I think, Al, you said it, it's about power and control over the people. How can you make people subservient to the federal government? And this is it. You instill fear. You instill panic. You make sure that you keep people defenseless.
Amen.
Scumbags. God almighty. Hey, another breaking news from this past weekend hailed from the DNC's New York Times, the Democrat National Committee propaganda newspaper, the New York Times. They printed an op-ed, and you can actually go to Breitbart.com, and I'll see about I'll put that link in the chat room. It happens to be a member of your tribe too, Al. Let me put that link in the chat. I'm going to try to do two things at one time. New York Times op-ed on Holy Weekend. Let's get rid of God. And, you know, the New York Times has a propensity for doing away with God. Like, in what was it, back in the 70s, early 80s, God is dead, you know, or back in the 70s, they printed that. It's like, you know, this is – what is it with progressives? They have such a hard-on for Christianity or belief in God, belief in the deity. So the New York Times published an op-ed Friday that proposes eliminating belief in God as one of the holiest weekends of the year's begin. And imagine, it's okay to demonize Christianity. It's okay to attack Christians' belief. It's okay to attack Jews' beliefs. But boy, if you say anything about Allah, if you say anything about Islam, you're an Islamophobe, you're a hater. And then the Southern Poverty Law Center, that fraudulent organization, puts you on top of their hit list, and you're an Islamophobe. But it's okay to attack and assail Christianity. The title of the op-ed is, "In the Time of War, I Propose We Give Up God." The article claims that God is responsible for war and violence and for oppression and suffering, and suggests that people stop teaching children about him, God. Author Shalom Auslander, who is disillusioned about his upbringing in a religious Jewish community in New York, argues, God, it seems, paints with a wide brush. He paints with a roller. In Egypt, said our rabbi, he even killed the firstborn cattle. He killed cows. If he was mortal, the God of Jews, Christians, and Muslims would be dragged to The Hague. And yet we praise him. We emulate him. We implore our children to be like him. Perhaps now, as missiles rain down and the dead are discovered in mass graves, is a good time to stop immolating this hateful God. Perhaps we can stop extolling his brutality. Perhaps now is a good time to teach our children to pass over God, to be unlike him as possible. So the communists despise Christianity. The communists despise religion altogether. Okay? So the communists are engaged in trying to take over a sovereign nation. And then, of course, you have the Islamists who are engaged in war, who despise anybody who's not a Muslim, a Jew, a Christian. You know, they kill Christians like Nigeria. Another 14 Christians were killed, including women and children. And there's no outrage. There's no, you know, nothing from the OIC or the United Nations. And the United Nations and OIC, you know, they pass UN Resolution 1618 to criminalize someone if they have disparaged or said anything negative about Islam. And yet it's the Islamic world who continues to infringe upon the rights of Christians. Now it is this. It's the atheists. It's those people who despise God and Christianity, especially on Christians' holiest day and holiest week, Good Friday, the day that Jesus was sacrificed. He sacrificed himself for the sin of man. And you know, isn't it amazing how those atheists, those agnostics, those people who despise Christians and they despise Jews, it's okay where they can go out and they can berate Christianity. They can absolutely assail God. They can assail Jesus Christ. It's okay to dump a cross in a bucket of urine, and we're not supposed to be outraged. But the minute that you say that Muhammad is a pedophile and married a six-year-old, which is in their own writings, go to the Bukhari, in their own writings, okay? They even validate that Muhammad marries a six-year-old Aisha and then consummates the marriage when she's 9 years old. Now, if that doesn't define pedophilia, what does? Well, she was old for her age during that time. Well, she was in the desert. You know, there's all kinds of excuses. You know, but you can't say that because then you're an Islamophobe and you're a hater. But go ahead and dump and place a cross of Jesus Christ in a bucket of urine and call that art. And now it's okay to dump on Christians and say, take God out of society. Just because you have a myopic view and you despise God, you despise Christians. You don't look at the fact that communists despise religion. They despise organized religion. They don't have faith. Their faith is the government's. Their faith is Moscow. Their faith is China, is the center of China. Pyongyang is their faith. That's where their God is. And yet we have to sit here and take that. You know, we have to be God-fearing, and you know, we have to accept this difference of opinion. Okay. I get it. But please don't say anything about chapter 4, verse, you know, 80, or chapter 4, excuse me, verse 74. I mean, please don't. Or how about, even better yet, how about chapter 9, you know, verse 5? Let's not even talk about that. I mean, my goodness gracious. So when the forbidden months are past, so kill the polytheists wherever you find them and take them as captives and besiege them and lay in wait for them with every kind of ambush. So if they repent and perform the prayer and give legal alms, so leave their way free. Surely Allah is forgiving and merciful. See that? But you can kill them. And we're supposed to be okay with this. You know, don't talk about Islam, but it's okay to dump on Christians and Jews. It's okay to attack Jews in Jerusalem, and it's okay to bomb, you know, Tel Aviv and to shoot up Tel Aviv as long as you're killing Jews. And now we have to take God out because of war? I mean, I don't think Vladimir Putin is a man of faith, though, Al. I'm not sure who's he consulting. Maybe the grave of Lenin? I don't know.
Well, there's more news. Gaza Islamic scholar Abd al-Hamid Dabous said through jihad, he said the goal of jihad is to make people convert to Islam, people who convert by force later regret not converting on their own. Dabous said, quote, through jihad, Allah conquers lands as well as hearts and minds. Jihad is the means by which the Muslims first of all defend their lands, their lives, their honor, and their religion. And in addition, it is a means to spread this religion, because the bottom line is that Allah sent down this religion so it would be spread throughout the world until all the people become Muslims.
Ah, that
now,
justifies it,
can,
right?
Oh, absolutely. Do you know of any Christians that are blowing up anything? Like you were talking about Piss Christ, did you know of any Christians that ran out and started killing people because they were so offended by the a-hole who made that piss-cripe piece of art? Or have you heard of Christians rioting here in America because Muslims are killing them in Nigeria each and every week and day, practically? No.
No, never
happened.
Are
Jews rioting across the world after being murdered, 14 of them just this week, in Tel Aviv and Jerusalem by Muslims stabbing and blowing up, stabbing and attacking Jews inside of Israel? No.
No.
Only the Muslims attack and kill others because they are offended. So what does this do? There's an example, that one fellow who was burning the Quran. The papers are saying that he incited this violence, brought it upon himself by burning the Quran and inciting the violence against him. Well, that has got to change. He's got the freedom to burn a book, which is offensive on every level, but he's got the right to do it. the followers of Islam should just ignore him or mock him for being a a-hole. But instead, they're killing people and rioting over this fact because they're offended. He offended Allah, offended Islam, and that is to instill fear into the hearts of the unbelievers, as you had said earlier. That, my friends, is Islam 101.
Yeah, that was, you're talking about in Sweden on Thursday and Good Friday, Rasmus Paludan, the leader of the Danish Stram Kurs political party, scheduled protests in Sweden against Islamic supremacy. Paludan organized demonstrations in some of the country's most dangerous and immigrant-dense areas, widely considered no-go zones. Now, we're talking about Sweden. Sweden. Okay, so Sweden opens up their borders, opens up their arms, their hearts to migrants, and you come in and you take advantage of this open border mentality. Okay? Here you have, you know, nothing of Sweden speaks to Islam. There's nothing. You know, you're talking about Nordic versus, you know, Islamic, okay? But Sweden opens up its doors, opens up its wallets, opens up its heart to give what Muslims a better life. And now we have no-go zones in Sweden. Sweden has the highest incidence of rape and kidnapping by migrants because, you know, they can't say they can't use the word Muslim. So these protests, which coincide with the Muslim holiday Ramadan, were to show that Islamic values are not compatible with liberal Swedish society and its freedom of expression and opinion. And that's the biggest threat to Islam. Why are you migrating to a Western country where you know that the value system has an openness? They have a freedom of expression. They have a freedom of opinion, just like in America, freedom of speech, the First Amendment. First Amendment of the United States Constitution states that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Now, it's bad enough that we have a Democrat party, a uniparty in Washington, D.C., that does not respect the rights of Americans under the Bill of Rights that was afforded to each and every American, a Bill of Rights that gives the people of America the freedom of speech, the freedom to peaceably assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances, all of which are being abridged under this current administration, this current regime, by the intolerant Marxists. But we also have a sleepy society. We have intolerant Muslims. We have an intolerant Islamic movement that has pierced not only the American borders, but the Western borders, including Sweden. And piercing these borders means that they don't assimilate. And of course, we've heard the words of Linda Sarsour at the 55th annual ISNA convention, where she instructed her fellow Muslims not to assimilate in America. Those were her direct words. Brothers and sisters, do not assimilate in America. And she received applause from the 1,100 in attendance, mostly Muslims in attendance. There's something wrong with that. I don't care what your belief system is on Islam or Christianity or other than If you have a Muslim standing before you who states do not assimilate in America, then why are you coming to America? Why are you coming to Sweden? Why are you coming to the United Kingdom? Why are you moving to the West if your intention is not to assimilate in society and make a better life for you and your family? Isn't that the idea? Make a better life for you and your family.
Well, our favorite Ghazan Islamic scholar, Abd al-Hamid Dubas, answers your question, and he says, quote, when groups of Muslims set out on jihad for the sake of Allah, they first call people to join Islam. If they accept this Islam, this is what Allah wants and what the Muslims want. Then there are those people, Vito, who become Muslims with the same duties and rights as ours. Now, if not, If a person, if you do not become Muslim, then they must, according to the great Ghazan imam scholar, if they don't change their religion, they must pay the jizya, poll tax, and humiliation, or we will fight them until we attain either death or victory. With the help of Allah, jihad is the pinnacle of Islam. It is what makes Islam glamorous, strong, and lovable, quote unquote. Even people who were coerced in converting to Islam through jihad for the sake of Allah express regret that they had to be forced. So, if you want to join Islam because it's glamorous, strong, and lovable, and not die, then now you've got the reason why.
So, when the forbidden months are passed, so kill the polytheists wherever you find them, and take them as captives and besiege them, and lay wait for them with every kind of ambush. So if they repent and perform the prayer and give legal alms, so leave their way. Surely Allah is forgiving and merciful. Well, Muslims were so merciful in Sweden that they ended up burning police vehicles, taking police uniforms that were in the truck, and to see how bad it was, the police fled the scene, leaving their vehicles behind. And in true Islamic fashion, they rioted and they burned the vehicles. And you know, it's unbelievable what we're seeing today all around the world. Why is it that Sweden has police officers like the French or the English who just cut and run? Why? Enough is enough. These people are in your country and they refuse to assimilate. So therefore, they should not be welcomed any longer. The Nordic Passport Union allows illegal migrants in Sweden to easily travel and reside in Denmark without any travel documentation or even a resident permit. You know, look, if you want to migrate to a Western country, you know what those value systems are. So there has to be an alternative reason as to why you're not assimilating into that Western society. Isn't it Dar al-Harb to turn it to Dar al-Islam? Could that be it? Son of a gun.
Bigly, the Ghazan scholars told you, go there, ask them to become Muslim, and if they refuse, you fight and kill them if they don't. Pretty simple. Or you shake them down for money. So become a Muslim is kind of like a big shakedown, like the mob. Not that the mob exists, mind you, but if they did, they would go into your neighborhood and you would have to pay alms to them or else they'll rob you and steal you. So if you pay them off, they leave you alone. So if you want to remain whatever, if you don't want to become a Muslim, then you got to, then they'll shake you down and take all your money. And then if you say no, then they'll kill you. That sounds like a beautiful religion. It's kind of like this Ramadan that we're in right now, Ramadan. It's like the month without lunch. They call it, they say they're fasting, and we're all supposed to, take pity on them and be in awe of them because they're fasting for 30 days. How hard that must be. But what they're not telling you is you can eat a big, huge breakfast, you can eat a big, huge dinner, and then you can snack all night long, and all you do is skip lunch. Well, I tell you, skipping lunch is not fasting. It is nothing to gain my respect. Skipping lunch does not gain my respect. It does not make me want to give you accommodations to take off during the middle of the day because you're fasting and weak and still have to pay employees for that. It's none of that. It's all a joke and a lie because it's just a month without lunch. And then if you go to Muslim countries, let's say we go out to lunch and we're in, let's say, Egypt, and we start eating a big old lunch, then those bastards will attack us for eating lunch during Ramadan. So they can't eat lunch, or they're going to make you and me not eat lunch.
Well, that's happening up in Dearborn. It was happening up at the high school up in Dearborn, the Ford Fortune High School. Yeah, I mean they want people to feel guilty that your child should not eat in front of my child. Well, just you know what? Have your child just go stay in the classroom. You know, that's your choice. I mean, during Lent, I mean, how many people? Okay, so if you're a Catholic, during Lent on Fridays you don't eat meat, and the school serves hamburgers. So should we make a big deal of students eating hamburgers in front of my child, who should be having fish? And why aren't you serving fish on Fridays? Where's your compassion? Huh?
Well,
why don't you?
You
why don't you serve my kid a peanut butter and jelly sandwich as well?
Well, I bet if you Catholics started rioting and burning cars and making a big violent stink,
yeah,
then you would get what you want. No meat on Friday. There would be none.
So in this article, none. The Rare Foundation, it goes on to say, none. Mr. Paladin stated, Sweden has been much more disturbed by Islam than Denmark. Our actions have shown that freedom of speech and freedom of peaceably assembly no longer exist in Sweden. Now Sharia is the law of the land. I'll tell you, there were some pointed comments. The phrase Allah Akbar actually means that Allah is the greater than any other god. When recited, it empowers Muslims, making them feel superior to the rest of mankind. Allah Akbar has, in fact, been a jihadist tool since the early years of Islam. When it is shouted publicly, an expression of rage, however, particularly during an attack on others, it's intended to intimidate or threaten. Its purpose is to emphasize that the assault is being committed on behalf of Allah, submitting to his command to kill the enemies, and in the expectation of the reward for eternal paradise. That's interesting commentary by Paladin, that's a pretty direct and candid statement from him. Didn't pull any punches, did he?
None. And then you got the Pope not even defending Christianity or Christendom against the followers of Islam as Christians are being slaughtered in Nigeria.
Don't get me started on the Pope. I'll tell you, Pope Francis is an absolute bust. I mean,
he's not glamorous, strong, and lovable like Muhammad and Allah.
Yeah, exactly. I'm so disappointed in Pope Francis.
He's a Marxist.
Yes, he is.
He's a Marxist.
Well, you know, he's a Franciscan, and that's the way to – no, that's garbage, okay? That's garbage. The Pope is extremely disappointing. And, you know, you sit there week after week we talk about, and we've been documenting this, okay? Nigeria, another 14 Christians, including women and children, were slaughtered by Islamic jihadists, okay? Now, we're talking about women and children. And, you know, we're made to feel guilty about children, you know, about the children. Oh, it's all about the children, except when Islam rears its ugly head. And it's okay to kill Christian children. It's okay to kill Yazidi children. It's okay to rape Yazidi women. It's okay to rape Christian women. And now, you know, where is the Pope? Pope Francis, through my most grievous racism. What are you even talking about through your racism? You're the Pope, man. You're the leader of the Catholic Church. And it's week after week we're reading about the genocide committed against Christians in Nigeria, in Burkina Faso, in Lahore, Pakistan. And you say nothing. And now it's about there's a first class, there's a second class, there's a skin color, and if they come from developed and undeveloped countries, and blah, 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 blah. And it's just one convoluted message after another with this guy. It is so disappointing. You want to talk about somebody who's driving you away from the Catholic church, from the Catholic religion, it's Pope Francis. The guy's a bust. Pope John Paul did such a job in bringing people to Christianity, to Catholicism. This man has been an absolute bust. It's unbelievable. Well, you need to take refugees. No, we don't need to take refugees. Why is it incumbent upon the United States of America to finance the rest of the world, huh? When in fact we're mired in $30 trillion of debt, the American people are suffering at the gas pump, they're suffering at the grocery store, and people have their head in the sand, including the buffoon Biden, who doesn't even acknowledge it. Now it's Putin's inflation. No, let's blame somebody else. And of course, the willing idiots in the DNC media, you can't even call them the mainstream media. They are not the mainstream media. They are bought and paid for by the Democrat National Committee, or it, as I call them, the Democrat National Communist Committee. They have sanitized this imbecile that's in the White House and his sidekick. If a president of the United States acted this dumb, this reckless, as Biden and Harris have, and they were on the right side of the aisle, the media would have a field day with these individuals. And yet, it's one misstep after another. And they want to discount the fact that, well, there was 23 Islamists who were detained at the border. Detained, okay? Detained at the border. Well, it's a minute number. Oh, okay. So let's see. Here you go. Baghdad Bob Gensaki. Gensaki, here is a bowl of 100 M&Ms. And there's one M&M with a bowl eye, and there's one M&M with rice in. You want a handful? Take your pick. Well, you know, I'll just pass on it. You know, I gave them up for Lent. You know, this is incredible what we're seeing today. And we have to apologize. And we have a Pope who apologizes, constantly apologizes. For what? For what? Sweden, their country is lost. They have lost their country. And all they did was open their arms to migrants to come into their country and experience freedom and liberty. They don't even have a constitution, a document as solid as ours in the United States. And it's being trampled on a daily basis. It was trampled on this past weekend. Nigeria, 14 more Christians were killed, women and children. And somehow, this is not news anymore. The UN, the OIC, Organization of Islamic Cooperation, silent. Children, doesn't fit their narrative, Vito. Got it. Grooming gangs in the United Kingdom. Well, we can't really call them grooming gangs anymore. Oh, okay, rapists? No, you can't call them rapists. Oh, no. Can't do that. Let's deport them. No, you can't do that. Oh, okay, so in the case of France, we'll just go ahead and give them a visa. Did you read that one? France issues visa to jihadi accused of crimes against humanity and torture in Syria. Did you read that one? The Paris Court of Appeal has rejected the request of a former Syrian Islamic rebel who challenged his indictment for torture and war crimes and complicitly in kidnapping. The Paris Prosecutor General announced on Monday, April 4th, in a judgment delivered today, the investigating chamber, in accordance with the requisition of the public prosecutor, rejected Maji Nima's request and returned to the investigative judge for further information. War crimes and crimes against humanity, and France issues a visa to the jihadi. It's incredible, Al. What are we seeing here? There is no logic to what's happening now. I mean,
They deserve their own doom.
Yeah.
Well,
so who's going to follow
12th,
this guy?
Yeah, well, 6 days ago, going back to Nigeria, gunmen killed more than 100 in Nigeria North. Abuja, Nigeria, and this is even reported by the Associated Press, of all things. That's the most, one of the more amazing parts of this story. But an armed gang killed more than 100 people in a remote part of northern Nigeria, survivors, local authorities said on Tuesday. The conflict, as access to land and water is further worsened in the division between Christians and Muslims in Nigeria. The Pope is nowhere to be found.
Exactly.
So what
First
you need
all,
to do, people, you, I'm going to put this story up here, and you need to take that to your pastor, your clergy, your priest, whatever, your rabbi, and then just give him the story and say, you need to talk about this. This is very important. Our people are getting slaughtered, and we need to do something. And you give it to your clergy and kind of shame them into, at best, at worst, just talking about it, and at best, actually helping to help these Christians who are being slaughtered. Because
you know what's
is the Bible said? Well, the Bible says if one part of the body of Christ hurts, then the whole body hurts. That means that when these Christians are getting slaughtered in Nigeria for being Christians, it should hurt every Christian around the world.
And you know what's disconcerting in this whole thing is back about 10 years ago, you had the Vatican was extolling the fact that the fastest growing segment for Catholicism is in Africa. Africa, yo, you know, where there's been so many conversions and people coming and Africans coming to Catholicism. Well, the last time I looked, Nigeria was in Africa. And Christians were part of Africa. And we have a pope who is silent about the genocide being committed against Christians in Africa. And just 10 years ago, the Vatican was absolutely ecstatic about the growth of Catholicism, Christianity in Africa. There was so much talk that the person who would have been chosen as Pope following Pope Benedict could have been from Africa. That's how much the Vatican was selling us on the growth of Catholicism in a virgin country, Africa. And we have a pope who has abandoned Christians in Africa. Because the last time I checked, Nigeria was still part of Africa. It's a disgrace. I'm so disappointed in this pope. He is just, he's been a bust. He's been an absolute bust.
Hmm.
So.
Well, there's a story about Christians who sang on a charter flight that got Ilhan Omar, got her hijab all in a mess.
Ilhan Omar. Oh, my gosh. The congresswoman from Mogadishu. Here's a woman who is bitter. She's an anti-Semite. She's an anti-Christian. She is a Jew-Israel-hating individual. She is a venomous anti-American. You know, the Speaker of the House excuses this hateful woman's rhetoric. And she didn't disappoint. You know, as Holger pointed out, she sends out a tweet at 12:01 a.m. on Easter Sunday. And the tweet was, there was a person on April the 9th, a German flight, where a man gets up with a guitar and he's singing Christian music, and they're, and the people on the plane, not all the people on the plane, but people on the plane were also singing along. Okay. Now, first of all, I would have been a little bit annoyed if I'm trying to sleep on the plane and, you know, people break out in song. I don't give a crap what religion it is, but Ilhan Omar, she has to wait until 12:01 a.m. on Easter Sunday to send out a tweet with regards to the video of a man playing guitar on a plane singing praise during Easter, singing Christian songs. So Omar sends out a tweet, "I think my family and I should have a prayer session next time I am on a plane. How do you think that will end?" So here's a bitter and a snarky tweet by a fundamentalist who's nothing more than an anti-American. She despises Christianity. She hates Jews. She hates Israel. She has to send out a classless, snarky tweet. Now, she could have simply kept her comments either to, you shouldn't take it upon yourself to break out in song at 30,000 feet above ground. Not everybody wants to listen. Or how about even this? Wow, something positive breaking out on a plane. People singing praise during Easter holiday. Okay. And it wasn't Easter. It was April the 9th. Nope. The bitter Omar, she's got to make it about herself. I thought it was interesting. There was a tweet that was sent out by an Ashra Q. Nomani, a Muslim. She nailed it. "One thing upon which you can depend, Ilhan Omar / CARE is a perpetual participant in the oppression Olympics. And as Easter begins, she has to compete with a Christian prayer session." And I just loved it because she nailed it. Oppression Olympics. Compete with a Christian prayer session. And Holger put in, it was a chartered flight to boot. You see, this is the ignorance of Ilhan Omar. But, you know, Ilhan Omar has been discounted her entire political life, you can say. When the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, came to her rescue immediately after the Benjamin incident, after disparaging Jews, after she actually insulted the Jewish organizations in America, well, Pelosi said, Congressman woman Omar, she doesn't have command of the English language. Yeah, that's the excuse. That's how you excuse a bitter woman, a hateful woman like Ilhan Omar. It's okay that Ilhan Omar hides behind the First Amendment of freedom of speech, but immediately this fascist wants to infringe upon your right of religion and your right to exercise free speech, your right to peaceably assemble, a chartered flight. Well, you know what, Omar? We know what your religion celebrates. Okay, we know the last time a prayer was made. I think it was called Flight 93. And I believe the passengers of Flight 93 back on 9/11/2001, they objected to Omar's brethren's prayers, which was the battle cry Allah Akbar, and decided they weren't going to pray and stand for jihadists using planes as a weapon. And they took matters into their own hands, and they stood for the United States of America. But it's just one bigoted statement after another with the dishonest Omar. She's an absolute disgrace. The Daily Wire, someone stated that they were, shut up and stop being a bigot, and she is. But, you know, I think she thrives. She probably gets orgasmic with having this type of attention. And it doesn't matter if it's negative. It doesn't matter if it's positive. And mostly her comments are negative. She relishes in the fact of being an agitator. And, you know, it's one just misstep after another. Well, some people may have done something on 9/11. Really? 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 Like flying a plane into the Pentagon? like flying a plane into the North Tower of the Twin Towers, like flying a plane into the South Tower of the Twin Towers. Like, thank you, big Shanksville, Pennsylvania, where Flight 93, led by Todd Beamer, Let's Roll, took down that plane that was headed for Washington, D.C., possibly the White House or the United States Capitol. But some people may have done something. This is the mentality of this congresswoman from Mogadishu, who married her brother and defrauded the United States government. She defrauded the immigration system, and yet she's allowed to serve in Congress, and she's also defrauded the campaign finance, committed campaign finance violations. She's pro-BDS, and then she has the audacity to start scolding people about their Christian religion. Freedom of religion doesn't exist with Islamists, with fundamentalists. Freedom of religion only means that they're a protected species under the Islamic faith. But, you know, Congress shall not make a law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And now you have a congresswoman who seeks to prohibit the free exercise thereof, seeks to infringe upon your First Amendment right of free speech. Oh, well, she doesn't have command of the English language, Vito. Oh, that's it. Let's make an excuse for this. Then why is she in Congress? Why is she passing laws? Why is she voting to pass laws if she doesn't have command of the English language? Why? Steve Crowder tweeted, "What's worse, a mass shooter or singing on a plane? Ilhan Omar only felt the need to comment on one of these." And I like Steve Crowder's response because it reminds me of an episode of Monk. I don't know if you guys watched Monk. But a foreign diplomat, an ambassador, is killed in a hotel and his two bodyguards. And at the end, Monk solves the case, and it was this guy kills his wife at point-blank range in Central Park, leaves her body, goes to a bar, gets drunk because it was like he has a drink because he's distraught about what he did. The ambassador of this foreign country is at the same bar, has the same kind of jacket. The coat check girl gives the wrong jacket to the ambassador, which is he gives the shooter's jacket to. Now the shooter's trying to get the jacket back, and he ends up killing somebody else. So he's killed five people. Monk solves the case. But while solving it, Monk recognizes this waiter or busboy in this restaurant that he solves the case in, and the guy is known as the urinator. Monk recognizes the busboy for taking a leak in the subway and is disgusted by it, and he goes to grab. So Monk wants this kid arrested in this restaurant while they're arresting a killer, okay? And Monk's assistant says, "Wait a minute, Monk, would you rather the handcuffs be used to arrest a man who killed five people, or do you want someone who took a leak in the subway?" And Monk thought about it and goes, "Oh, arrest the killer." It just reminds me of the same thing. What's worse, a mass shooter or singing on a plane? Ilhan Omar only felt the need to comment on one of those. There you go. Bingo.
She hates Christians. She's a hater.
Hold your Omar's phone. Change the ringtone to Onward Christian Soldiers. She is a hater. She's a hater. You're absolutely right. She's an agitator. You know, it's one thing to be a dissenting voice in opposing voice in Congress. Okay, it's one thing to be an opposing voice, but the fact is that her voice is bitter, and she does not espouse the values that made this country great, the American values. And she's nothing but a cheat, a liar, and a thief. And she's proven she's a cheat. She cheated on the campaign finance. She cheated on her husband, her brother husband, her other husband. I mean, and she's nothing but a fraud. Some people may have done something on 9/11. Really? Some people may have done something? 3,000 people dead, billions of dollars of property damage. We watch planes fly into the Twin Towers. We watch people jump out of the towers, both towers, and some people may have done something. You worthless piece of shit. I think POS is what Sue coined for Mayor Buttcheeks. Well, you know what? Omar is no better. And she hides behind the veil of CARE, the con men of CARE, who protects her. And then, of course, there's Nancy Pelosi. Well, she doesn't have command of the English language. Yeah, Congress shall not infringe on your right of freedom of religion. Congress shall not prohibit the free exercise thereof. They should not infringe upon your free speech. And all the Islamic world does, all the Muslim Brotherhood and their front groups do, all the Democrats do, is they infringe upon your speech. They infringe upon your right to peaceably assemble. They infringe upon your right to petition your government for grievances. Huh? Why is there still a wall around Washington, D.C.? Huh? Why? 15 months later, there's still a wall up around Washington, D.C. Why? Biden, take down those walls. You coward. Unbelievable what we're seeing today. There's nothing progressive about progressives. Go ahead.
Progressive, she's a Marxist. I don't see how in the world she can honestly represent everyone in her district. Now, granted, she got elected by the Marxists in her district, but she's still there to – it's a representative republic. I don't think that anyone who disagrees with her has any type of a voice, so she needs to be voted out.
One would think so. One would think so. I mean, the snarky Mogadishu rep, I mean, she should be. She had 32,000 views of that. 32,000 holders or 32 million views of that guitarist and her comments. The exact details of the flight, including whether it was a chartered flight, when the flight happened, and the travel itinerary is not clear. I think my family and I should have a prayer session the next time I'm on a plane. Omar wrote on a video she tweeted out to her 3 million followers. How do you think that will end? You see, again,
well,
she's got to play the victim.
Muslims don't have guitars. They don't play music because music is haram. It means it's bad.
That's,
so there'll
you know
be no guitar
else?
Playing.
That is interesting you say that. You see, that's another fact that's omitted. Music is haram.
Yeah, it's not like they're breaking out and having prayer circle in the middle of the plane. Having
exactly
like Ilhan Omar was saying, well, they should just go butt up in the aisle and be a disruption. So she's in, that's called demanding sympathy and demanding accommodations by talking like that. But nobody will say what's against her except for you and me.
That's right. That's right. Everyone's afraid
even the Pope's
to talk.
Quiet. Yeah,
oh
even
my
the Pope
gosh!
Is afraid.
Please. Please. So I guess good old Ilhan, she can't take it. So she's responded to Lauren Boebert's, Congresswoman Boebert's reply, and I can't find the tweet. So, Holger, if you got it, just if you would just. Oh, shout out to Ilhan Omar. Her anti-Christian hate helped propel a song praising Jesus to 33 million views over Easter weekend. Even the rocks will cry out.
Meanwhile, her favorite tyrant, Vladimir Putin, if you recall, he hired, well, a bunch of Muslims, Chechenian Muslims, to be the first wave of fighters into Ukraine to kill the Ukrainian Christians.
So,
any coincidence in that?
Yep. Oh, no.
The Chechen Muslims. Yeah, Vladimir Putin brought in Chechen Muslims to fight the Ukrainian Christians. They were the first wave of fighters to go in.
Well, isn't that didn't Putin send in the Chechen fighters to be more aggressive with the Ukrainians and really to exterminate them?
Yeah, well, I don't know about exterminate, but he went in there to fight them because he knew that they're ruthless and they like to kill people.
Yeah, I mean, there was brutality. No one talks about that brutality was it coincided with the Chechens being brought in on the front lines.
Yeah, but the rest of the story is that these Chechen badass Muslims, they literally got wiped out by the Ukrainians. It's probably the whole division of them. Practically wiped out, with maybe 10% survived, the other 90% were slaughtered.
Jeez.
Oh, the irony.
The irony is right. The irony.
And then with Ukraine, we don't know what's true and what's not. Like the headline in today's paper, Mariupol on the edge of collapsing. Well, to me, I just can't understand how Ukraine thinks they're going to win this thing. I mean, I hope they do, but we need to be giving them arms because I've changed my views a little. I think it's a really bad thing to have Russian expansionism in Europe, and that NATO should have been going after these guys, let the Ukrainians fight. But give them all the Javelin missiles they can handle. Give them the jets. Doesn't matter where it comes from. And Biden should have been giving them more because the Javelins and the Tomahawks that they had, they were given to the Ukraine by President Trump before he left office. And if President Trump hadn't done that, they would have nothing to fire at the Russians.
Well, you know, I watch Newsmax a couple of times a week, and you know it seems like I get they have a member of the Ukrainian Parliament, the lady who gives an update. You know, Sean Penn gave an update to Hannity, and thank you, Sue, for that video where finally a leftist, you know, buried his politics and you know a conservative, you know, welcomed this individual who did a good documentary. Zelensky is standing ground. You know, he didn't cut and run. He had the opportunity to flee to other countries, you know, exile protection, and chose not to. Just like the Klitschko brothers, you know, the heavyweight champions of the world,
yep.
Mayor of Kyiv. I tell you, I have to give them credit for standing in there and fighting for their country. The thing is, there's a parallel here, though, Al. And this is what people are talking about, which really bothers me. You had Obama-Biden regime who sat idly by and did nothing when Russia went in and took Crimea, not as aggressively as this. There was not a war, but they took Crimea. And now, you know, there was a little bit of a respite because for 4 years you had Donald Trump in office and Putin knew where Trump stood. He also included, now even though Ukraine is not a member of NATO, Trump wanted to make NATO stronger. And how do you do that? You got to pay your fair share. And what happened just a month ago, the German chancellor validates what Trump was talking about, who was excoriated by the left-wing, you know, stupid news media in America. And that was you have to pay your fair share so you can strengthen NATO. And Putin knew that Trump didn't play any games. And of course, there was nothing that Putin did. And he waited. And he waited. And he knew that the American people had short memories. And they certainly did. And of course, the cheating that ensued, you know, in the election that put this feckless fraud in the White House. And what a perfect opportunity. The fall of Afghanistan, and it showed how weak America is under Biden, and it showed how weak the allies were. And although there was not a lot of ally situation, I mean, the United Kingdom and who else, France and some NATO forces in Afghanistan. But the fact is that the United States is weak. It doesn't have that force that Trump was projecting. So what an opportunity. You had Obama, Biden, and Putin takes Crimea. Putin waits and waits and waits. And now you've got Biden, Harris, Obama, and Putin's going in and taking the rest of Ukraine.
Mm. Well, Sue would like to weigh in on the Ukraine. Sue, welcome again.
Thank you. You know what I'm really concerned about now and what people are totally missing with all of this is the sanctions have done absolutely nothing to Russia. Gas and food, everything is cheaper in Russia than it is right now. And where people had better wake up and be concerned, and this has to do with what Biden and the Democrats are doing to the American dollar. They're part of this,
yes,
too. I had sent a thing on the petrodollar and everything, but in the last few days, I got some information about the value of the American dollar, and it is not good. And what Russia is trying to do along with China is to destroy the American dollar and its value, and they have about done it. And this is really scary. And then you have the Democrats with their spending and everything. We are no longer going to be the powerhouse. The dollar is not going to be strong. You think things are bad now, just wait for a little bit more. It is going to get much more dire. And, you know, people are looking at all this other stuff and they're completely missing the big picture of what's going on here. And, you know, this is done with the help of Germany. Germany has always been on the wrong side. And Germany is still supplying food over to Russia. Germany will not send, they're blocking the oil embargo for Russia, which is supplying it all the money it needs for its war. And Germany is supporting the ruble, not the American dollar. Mm-hmm. And the American dollar is going to crash. And it is already really, really low if you start looking at the stock market and everything. So,
yeah, that video you sent was very eye-opening. The last one with the Russian lady that started at 8 minutes, with regard to you know, the payment, how the investors now in Russia and Germany are looking to Russia because the returns are at least 7%, a high on the 12 to 14%, and they're using the Chinese yuan and the ruble as a basis, and they're discarding the U.S. dollar as a trade basis.
Yeah,
that's troubling.
That's right, and it's scary. You know, look what's going to happen when the dollar crashes, and then that's when the recession happens. You think inflation is bad now? Wait till that happens. And what does Washington do, these Democrats? They spend more money. And what does that do? That devalues the dollar even more. We're in big trouble. We're in big, big trouble. And what gets me is that these sanctions have done nothing in Russia. I watch a lot of these vlogs. They go around, you know, and it's just Russians showing, you know, what's happening, but they show sanctions. They go into the grocery stores and everything. The shelves are full of food, better than what they are here in the United States. And then you look at the price of food, what they're paying, and what we're paying, and we're paying like three times more for food than the Russians are. And so, of course, the Russians people are supporting Putin. They're living better than they ever have before. And then you have a German, you know, store, a big store supplying food over to Russia at cheap prices. Now, what's going on there? You know, and how are we going to stop Putin with sanctions? Well, the sanctions did absolutely nothing.
Exactly. Exactly. Because it's not a uniform sanction either. I mean, you have the issue and importance of that pipeline that that the bumbling Biden had approved for Germany. You know, it set the fuel and the energy issue for Germany. It helped the Germans. So, do you think the Germans are going to bite the hand that feeds them? They're not going to do that.
No, and you know what. You know, Putin is actually pretty smart in all of this, and mm-hmm. I think he had this in mind all along with what he was doing. When Biden and the NATO countries took Putin out of the SWIFT banking, that enabled him then to set up his own banking system, get the ruble as the currency, and to join in with China, who has been trying to get out of the SWIFT system and wanting to set up their own currency, and to destroy the U.S. dollar. So Biden and the Democrats fed right into Putin's hand on this. I mean, it's boom, boom, boom. You know, that's what they did. And everything that they have been doing supposedly to stop Putin has enhanced him. And by the way, you know how much gas is in Russia? $1.20 a kilo. $1.20 a kilo.
Really?
Yeah. And I've seen it on more than one vlog, and they're at the gas station and they show the gas pump. This is not propaganda. This is truth. That's how much the Russians are paying for their gas right now. Plus, their food is three times cheaper than what it is in the United States. And the grocery stores are full of food over there. They're not here in the United States.
Boy, I guess President Biden put sanctions on us.
Yeah, he did. He did. You know, it just, and by the way, it's not Biden, it was Obama. Biden's too far gone to know, you know, what's happening, you know, but it infuriates me. And then they won't give the Ukrainians, you know, any of the weapons they need to defeat this evil. He is taking Russia back to the USSR.
Mm-hmm.
He's already got KGB operatives in Russia. They're afraid to say anything. There have been so many people arrested in Russia. He's imposing 20-year jail sentences for people who go against the narrative that they are putting out. And another thing that just recently happened, there's a place in Ukraine, you might know which it is, Al, I don't remember right now, where the Hasidic Jews make a pilgrimage. Anyway, they go during Passover, and this is on the border, I think, of Ukraine near Russia. But anyway, they go there, make a pilgrimage, I'm sorry, I can't say the word right now, but anyway, they go there during Passover, and Putin has targeted them with missiles and is blowing the hell out of them, killing the Jews who are only going to where they always go to worship Passover. and he has specifically targeted him.
Well, if my tribe goes to celebrate Passover in a country that's at war, that's on them. They got to take full responsibility for that decision.
It can be their responsibility, but for him, this is a war crime, Al. You've got to recognize it for what it is. This is not a military installation. This is the killing of Jews. It's the killing of Jews. It's a war crime, period.
So, Sue, I'm reading something right now from republicworld.com. It said, Russia is looking for ways to stop its currency, the ruble, from depreciating following a slew of economic sanctions by the U.S., U.K., EU, and other countries, sanctions placed on the Kremlin in retaliation to its military offensive in Ukraine. And, of course, the war is in Ukraine. It's not in Russia. Last month, Vladimir Putin announced that unfriendly countries will have to pay in rubles for Russian gas from April 1. Now Kremlin spokesperson Dmitry Peskov said that except for gas, the specific timing of the transitions to ruble payment for other exported Russian goods is yet to be announced. So they are already making that transition. They are demanding that transition. So who's buying the gas? Well, Didn't bumbling Biden also buy Russian gas and Russian oil? And, of course, now you have the European countries who are buying, and they're going to have to pay in rubles, not U.S. dollars.
You know, and will we hear that Biden is paying in rubles?
No,
because
of course
not. Wouldn't put it past him buying more Russian gas. You know, but of course he really likes Iranian gas and these other communist dictator countries. Maybe he'll totally switch to them.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. I mean, that's another issue that's just, it's gross. I mean, here you had President Trump having America on energy independence, and now we're back on energy dependence. We're helping to finance Russian wars. We're helping to finance the communists in Venezuela. We're helping to finance the theocratic terrorist regime of Iran by buying Iranian oil, which should be treason, by the way. And then you have this administration is renegotiating the Iran nuclear deal and is giving a pass to the Revolutionary Guard, the Islamic, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, who has already been stopped at the U.S. border and has also put assassination on the head of former ambassador. What's the guy's name? The ambassador, the guy with the mustache. And they put a hit on this guy's head. I mean, and you have this administration renegotiating the Iran deal, nuclear deal, and to give the Iranian Revolutionary Guard a pass so they can freely travel within the United States to the United States of America, John Bolton. I mean, give me a break. This is a one destructive administration. This is one anti-American administration, by the way. This is unconscionable what the president of the United States would engage in. Unbelievable. I'm waiting for Biden to announce, travel restrictions to Moscow have been lifted. You can freely go there. Go on vacation in Moscow or St. Petersburg. Joe, we were talking about St. Petersburg, Florida. Okay. God, this is incredible what we're seeing. In 15 months, mind you, just in 15 months, we're seeing this type of collapsing of our foreign policy, of our domestic policy, of our border policy, of our energy policy, and, of course, of our financial policies. Unbelievable what we're seeing. And it's exactly what the economists like a Milton Friedman had warned against. Unbelievable what we're seeing. Oh, Moscow, Pennsylvania. There you go. He's open. So Biden will open up trade with Moscow, Pennsylvania. Moscow, Pennsylvania, not Moscow, Moscow. Oh, God. Oh, my God. Again, I ran out of espresso. I drank it so fast.
This will do it. It'll drain you.
Sue, you got any parting shots?
No, you know, I could go on for an hour. You know me. I fully support Zelensky. You know, in the Sean Penn interview, he said that Zelensky's poll numbers were going down. He went there in November. He had a real handle on what was going on. People were unhappy. And he had met with Zelensky then. And then he met with him right after the Russian invasion. And he said he saw a change in Zelensky, a change in his eyes. And, you know, this has made the man. He was born to lead during this time, and people should support him. I don't care what you thought about him before the war or anything else. This man is very brave. And just like in 1776, you had men that would have gone, you know, never be known in history or anything else. But when their country called them, they stood up and they put everything on the line. And this is what is happening now. And Putin has to be stopped. And if anybody thinks when he or if he wins Ukraine, he is going to stop, he is not. He wants the Cold War again. And he's already used chemical weapons. Where's that in the news? And they know that he's done all of this, not by what is being put out by the propagandists. There are, you can go and you can find it if you search. There's satellite images. That's how they found the mass graves. They found them through the satellite images. You know, these satellite images can go way down, and you know, it's like you're right there. And that's how they found all of this stuff happening. He is committing war crimes. Putin is slaughtering civilians. He's destroying complete towns, you know, but how many civilians is he destroying? And he's also killing off his generals now because they didn't operate the way that he wanted them to. Where does this take you back to? It takes you back to Stalin and Lenin and how they operated at that time. That's who Putin is. He's another Stalin and, you know, Lenin. And if he isn't stopped, Lord help the whole world, because this man is insane. And I do not think if he was pushed, he would stop at using a nuclear weapon. And somebody has to stop him. And he could be stopped if they would arm the Ukrainians. I do believe they could win this war. They are incredible at what they do. Right now they're using the drones. That's how they're destroying so many tanks and everything. But you know what he has put in now as far as his generals is earlier the Russian whole system, it was more on a defense mode, especially during the Trump years, and that's how they had structured their military. And now, you know, when they went in on the offensive, you know, mode, they weren't successful. So Putin has gotten rid of all of his generals. There have been 8 generals killed, and now he has put in one of the most vicious generals who is commanding all of the Russian forces, who will slaughter civilians. And his method is you take over a country through submission. This is submission. You make the civilian population so afraid of you that they submit to your rule. And this is what's happening. Anyway, I go on with your show because I'm sorry I talked so
much. No apologies. Thank you. You've been keeping up on this. I know you've been following the blogs, the Ukrainians that have been putting out, and also the blog of that Russian lady was very interesting because she went through to several different grocery stores and she showed clearly that the shelves are not empty. There were some issues with sugar having doubled in price, but it's readily available. There is no gas shortage in Russia, so the sanctions are not working, for one. And the war, is in Ukraine. It's not in Russia, and people in Russia are getting on with their lives. So keep up. Thanks for keep sending those videos.
Okay.
Thank you. Have a nice evening, Sue. Yeah, who knows, what are they waiting for? So the Hov just says, the final act will be revealed soon enough. And that's true. I mean, is it Ukraine and then you annex in Belarus, then Lithuania, then Moldova? I mean, the Georgia. So you take control of the Black Sea, the whole northern part of the Black Sea. What will NATO do? Will NATO protect Poland? But at what point? See, I don't see Putin moving into Poland anytime soon. I think he gets Ukraine, establishes the bases in Ukraine. He already has Odessa. He already has Crimea. Now he gets the rest of those countries, and then Belarus just comes into the fold because Belarus has been assisting the Russian troops. Belarus president has been allowing Russia to access the northwestern border of Ukraine through Belarus.
Yeah, it's just a satellite.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just a matter of time before that gets annexed back into Russia. Georgia will get annexed back into Russia. And I'm sure, mm-hmm. I'm sure that Biden will send, some sort of voting machines to Georgia, thinking that Russia will probably invade Georgia until they tell them that it's not, Georgia in America. They'll have to spell that out to the imbecile.
So will this become world? Is this the beginning of World War III? It very well could be. So we'll just have to see.
It could be, but. And the other side of the coin, Al, I mean, it could be World War III, but all that's happening right now, and I don't mean all, I'm not trivializing it, but all that's happening is that you have a Russian dictator who's reacquiring the Soviet Union land.
Right.
Now, once he reacquires the land that surrounds Russia and starts going into the Soviet bloc countries, East Germany, which there is no East Germany any longer, but what about going into Yugoslavia, which used to be the former Yugoslavia, going into Hungary, going into Poland? At that point, does it become a world war? So,
well, at that point, yeah, because Poland is a NATO country, so that would trigger the NATO pact.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Then it gets a little more interesting.
But I don't think that happens. I really don't. I mean, at this point, I just see Putin going in and posturing himself to take Ukraine. That land-wise, it's one of the largest land masses, in mm-hmm. Europe, aside from Russia.
Yeah, it's also the breadbasket of Europe too, and is most of the foodstuffs come from there. I don't know. It gets real interesting. I just have to see how it plays out. Joe, we got trouble at Disney World now, too.
What?
That,
really?
People are putting up signs, Pedo World, on
Ooh.
Disney property.
Ooh. Really?
Because Disney is having, they've got so many people that are grooming young children that work at Disney.
Oh, Jesus.
Big scandal over at Disney World. So much
really?
So that people, Disney World Resort, some protesters put up Pedo World above Disney World Resort on a big roadside sign, a concrete wall with Disney World Resort. And then some woman tore that down, but it seems to be a lot of Ajna in Disneyland or Disney World. I guess it all started with a lot of the percentage of gays that work there and the gays that have been busted with grooming young children.
Well, it
not
didn't
a good
help
look.
With it didn't help either with the leftists redefining the bill "Don't Say Gay" bill, which is it was not a "Don't Say Gay" bill. And again, the
right.
campaign of disinformation and misinformation by the left wing in America today is disgusting. It's gross. That was absolutely misleading. I don't want my 5, 6, or 7-year-old to be taught by a government school about Johnny having two mommies or two daddies, okay? That is up to the parents to teach the child. You teach my kid, okay, I'm sending my kid to a government school to learn three things, reading, writing, arithmetic. Teach him his ABCs, teach him that 1 and 1 is 2, okay, and teach him a little bit of history. But please, leave that sexual orientation issue to the parents. There is no place in government schools for that. But this is the conditioning that government schools want. They want to be your caretaker. They want to teach your child from cradle to grave. Go fuck yourself, okay? This isn't your place to do it. A 5 and 6 and 7-year-old still has an 8-year-old, a 9-year-old. They still have some semblance of innocence. And these people want to steal the innocence of a child.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, if you read that bill, State Representative, Florida State Rep Guillermo Smith is a big – he's the one who started the Don't Say Gay, even though, like you said, the main bill is the parental rights bill where parents have a say in what their children are being taught in a government school. And we're talking about case that's kindergarten through third grade. And anybody, this Guillermo Smith – who is advocating, and Disney for that matter, that are advocating for teaching sex to children who are in kindergarten through third grade are sick sons of bitches. One kid that young shouldn't even, an adult shouldn't even want to approach that subject with any child. That's sick behavior. So yeah,
exactly.
Pedo World may even apply to Disney since they're backing this, they're fighting this bill for parents to have the right to teach their children about these types of matters.
It's a parental rights bill. It's not a don't say gay bill. It's a parental rights bill. And this is what the left objects to. They objected to it in Virginia, and they got their asses kicked in the last election. And let's hope that that's what happens again, because Nancy Pelosi just endorsed Charlie Crist for governor of Florida. Okay, Crist is going into a primary against Nikki Fried, who's this Department of Secretary of Agriculture or something like that. So she's going against Crist. Crist was a terrible governor. Charlie Crist is a phony. He's a plastic individual. He's nothing but a figurehead. He was the worst governor in Florida since Charlie Kirk. And I think Kirk was even a better governor. And now you've got Nancy Pelosi endorsing Crist. Crist was terrible. He was he's a horrible individual. He is a spineless individual. It was Governor Rick Scott who had to clean up Crist's mess because Crist was a coward. Okay, Crist actually was a figurehead. He wanted to be so important. He's a little pretty boy, and an arranged marriage to boot. Okay, so, you know, I hope Floridians understand that Charlie Crist is a phony and a fraud, just like Biden is. We have a great governor in Florida, in DeSantis. He looks after the people of Florida. And look where all the liberals went during the pandemic, huh? They came to Florida for their vacations because they didn't want to go through the onerous rules and regulations of the oppressive state governments, including the governor of Illinois' family. You had the governor of California comes to Florida. You had Alexandria Cortez coming down from New York to Florida. Okay, even Fang Fang's boyfriend, Swalwell, comes to Florida. Give me a break.
Fang Fang. Oh, we saw what happened in New York under Giuliani. He turned that city around.
Yes, he did.
Javis Center was the first shot across the bow when he cleaned out the Javis Center. And then he took out the breaking windows, small crimes, or he just took out those people, arrested them, took them off the street. And then the crime vanished. Businesses came back. New York City flourished. And now under the current leadership, beginning with de Blasio and the governor and now the new mayor, New York is going back down into chaos and crime-ridden, and people are leaving New York in droves to come where?
The South, Tennessee, Florida, Georgia, Texas. Yep.
Right.
Yep. It's awful. That's all. Yeah, we don't
now,
need.
And now a Florida judge overturns the CDC, and now you've got people putting up pedo signs at Disney World because they're backing, they're hanging their hat on the ability to teach kindergarten through third grader sex. And if you want to hang your hat on that and take that up as your cause, then you are one sick individual, and you will get smashed, destroyed, as it should be, because you're a sick, sick person.
Exactly. That House bill is a parental rights bill, just like the parental rights bill was in the state of Virginia. And it got Glenn, elected governor.
Youngkin.
Okay?
Youngkin.
Thank you. Yeah. It's insane what we're seeing today happening all around the United States and now in Florida. You know, all these oppressive states like New York, Illinois, New Jersey, California, all during the pandemic, they made sure that their citizens had to stay in and mask up. And then these bastards all fled their states. And what did they do? They all came to Florida. Why? Oh, and Florida's so bad. Oh, really? Well, thank you for spending your dollars in Florida, you dumbass. You lying piece of crap. Hey, tomorrow we've got Eric from Kafiristan with Across the Crescent at 6 p.m. Wednesday, Hank Jones and Poly Sports, 5:30 p.m. Paul Sutliff with the Sutliffian Report. He's the author of Civilization Jihad, The Cancer of Civilization Jihad. He's on at 6 o'clock p.m. on Thursday. Friday, Andrew Harrod's back from a little vacation with a conservative casual Friday at 12 p.m. Minister Simon Dakduk and the beautiful Christie revealing the truth about Islam. Here's a man who exercises his First Amendment right to free speech, and he's bullied and dogged by the con men of care who are trying to oppress and infringe upon his right of free speech. Minister Simon Dakduk on Saturdays at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Eric from Kafiristan is back on Sunday with their interfaith dialogue at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. And Alan, I'll be back next Monday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Other shows on Blog Talk Radio include G-Ski and Dave, Airwaves America, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Please keep G-Ski in your thoughts and your prayers. Annie, Southern Sense Talk Radio, and Curtis Bennett at 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Friday afternoons. Chief Simple Facts of Life, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on Blog Talk Radio. Audrey Russo of Real Talk Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Thursday evenings. AudreyRusso.com, AudreyRusso.com. Check out Audrey's show. And if you want a break from Islam and politics, check out the Simone Nicole Show, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Spreaker, Spreaker.com. A great self-help show. If you want to get ideas about dieting, exercise, all that stuff, Simone Nicole Show is a great outlet for that. Alan, I'll be back next Monday evening. And I want to thank Bigfoot, our big patriot, www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. He had some great stories this weekend. Great stories. Thank you, Big, for all you do. Bring it on, boy, Ducky Northwest. Hold your holy cannoli. Eye guy, nice to see eye guy. The Alaskan Boyd, always a pleasure. Gulf Dog, who fled the chat room. I guess he got a little intimidated by Holger in there. And then Sue from New Mexico, thank you for the call, Sue. Always great to speak to you. Al, any parting shots?
Adios, amigos. See you next week. Have a great week.
Hey, you all be safe out there. Be aware of your surroundings. Thank you, Frankie. We'll talk to you guys next week. And Charlie Crist is an absolute disaster.
It was my way. plateau, folks.
Oh, my
down
God,
to the second.
Oh, that was perfect, wasn't it?
Oh, you got skills, man.
I'm
skills.
You, I can read. I can read.
And do math.
And do math.
Outstanding.
And type.
Get to the right button at the right time. Outstanding.
Sometimes I depress myself.
Chicks must dig you. That's all there is to it.
I'd be amphibious. There we go. Yeah.
Yeah, did you hear about Marshawn Lynch?
No, what happened?
That guy, well, it's 30. He's now a part owner of the Seattle Kraken. Hockey.
Oh, okay.
Ice hockey.
Okay.
He's a NFLPA chief brand ambassador, an Oakland Roots owner. He has his own apparel brand, his own cannabis company, his own venture fund, equity stake in the IFL and FCFL. And he's got deals with Bet, Black Entertainment Channel, MGM, Fanatics, Skittles, and more. And the guy's only 35. Ain't that something?
That is something, because here's a guy who they were talking about. He retired early, didn't get his contract, didn't want to be traded or something, and he sits out a couple of years, comes back, then gets on a Skittles commercial because he eats Skittles before playing a game. That was the whole thing. Mm-hmm. That was the whole beg on him. And you know what? Good for him. There's capitalism at its best, isn't it?
Oh, it's beautiful.
Who would have thunk? Don't tell us that America's not a land of opportunity.
Yeah. And as far as I know, he's a pretty good guy. I haven't heard too much negative stuff.
No, he stays out of controversy. I mean, all he wants to do is he wanted to play football. That's all he wanted to do. And then when he had enough, he had enough. God, that's fantastic. I actually have a newfound respect for the guy.
Yeah,
I think that's awesome.
Yeah, I knew of him, of course, because he's a great player, but I didn't know after his retirement how much he's done and how much he's built what he had into even more.
God. You know what? And doesn't that also defeat what, you know, Colin Kaepernick, you know, in his cause of talking about oppression? How does Marshawn Lynch attain that much success after being oppressed by the NFL, huh? He used that as a springboard into something even greater. And you know what? God bless Marshawn Lynch. That's the American dream.
Mm-hmm. He had the God-given ability to play football.
Yes.
At 5'11", one of the smaller players, 215. He's got to be a tough son of a bitch to be able to play in that league. Yeah, at that size. And yeah. He played until he wanted to stop, and now he's making it in the business world. That's not
a fantastic,
like you said. That is capitalism.
Yeah.
So
go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm getting all wound up. No, I'm sorry.
Tell me what. My mouth is going before my brain.
No, and I get all wound up about this thing, too. And, you know, the thing is, it's like you got all these athletes who are all dumping on the United States of America. And in the meantime, you've got LaJuan James, okay, out there, you know, making – he's probably earned close to, what, $500 million, $600, $700 million. Never went to college because we're all told we got to go to college. You know, he's got a God-given talent in basketball, comes right out of high school to the NBA, is making buku bucks, all kinds of endorsements, and America's bad, white people are bad, and defends communist China. But don't tell us about the opportunity, the land of opportunity, because Marshawn Lynch just proved about the land of opportunity, which in fact, LaJuan James has taken advantage of since the very day he entered the NBA, probably even before he went to the NBA at 18 years old. So for 15 years, this guy has been making a shitload of money, and based upon his talent, selling jerseys. People love his basketball abilities, but then has to spew all racist garbage and then ruin it for the people who supported this numbnuts. In the meantime, you know what? He's got a talent that has afforded him to play, do something that many millions of people would have loved to attain that didn't have the ability to do so, to reach that pinnacle of a sport, whether it be basketball, football, golf, you know, baseball. Just it's just incredible how ungrateful this generation seems to be. And then Marshawn Lynch comes out and proves exactly what America is about, the land of opportunity.
Well said.
God, just other than that, I've got no comment.
That's funny. You got no comment.
I got no comment. I'm just going to keep it to myself.
That's a good one. You got a comment for everything.
I do. I do.
Don't we all? We all should.
Have to say, the only comment I really don't have much on is I'm still a little perplexed by the Ukraine issue. I really am. I fully understand. I was very moved by the Klitschko brothers. That changed my opinion right there. And then to watch, as Sue rightly said, to watch how Zelensky has morphed into really a patriot for his country. Again, what I think happens is all of these pundits who seem to know better than you and I, all of these pundits are dishonest in their assessments. You know, they like to vilify an actor who turns to become a politician, i.e. Ronald Reagan. They wanted to vilify Donald Trump, a businessman, billionaire who becomes president of the United States. Oh, these guys, they don't have any political experience. And then, of course, they made fun of Zelensky being a comedian, an actor who went into politics, as if to say that people who are businessmen and actors don't have a brain. Okay. Look how many of the actors today are getting engaged just on Twitter, you know, whether it's right or left wing, and how vocal someone like what's the guy's name? The Italian De Niro, Robert De Niro got over Trump. I mean, the obsessiveness of these individuals. But somehow you're not, just because you're not a politician and you've not been elected to office means that you really have no opinion. You know, you're an actor turned politician like Ronald Reagan, who was president of the Screen Actors Guild, who had an economic background. But no, he's not legit because he's a Republican. If you're a Democrat, you know, like that Yahoo from Minnesota, who is nothing but a degenerate and runs for the Senate and wins. Okay, suddenly there's credibility there, you know, for that individual. But if an actor or a businessman runs as a Republican, there we have to find fault with that individual and make sure that they're an outsider, that we can't give them any legitimacy.
Mm-hmm.
So sick of these bastards. I really am.
Meh, they're not going anywhere.
No, but I didn't get to my proverbs either. I know it's kind of ridiculous, but I got to say that the proverbs 6.
Let's do them now. Say them now.
Oh yeah.
You're gonna be
okay,
on
so
tape.
The proverbs 6:12 describes Biden to a T. 12-14. And here's what it says. A worthless person, a wicked man, walks with perverse mouth. He winks with his eyes. He shuffles his feet, points with his fingers. Perversity is in his heart. When I read that, it was like, whoa, that describes Biden to a T, to a T. And then there's 17, Proverbs 17. And it is, number four, verse four. An evildoer gives heed to false lips. A liar listens eagerly to a spiteful tongue. And it's like, Proverbs just absolutely nails what we are seeing out of Washington, D.C. today, including shuffles. I mean, he shuffles his feet. I didn't make that up. It's like, I read that. I had to read it again. It's like, did I read that right? He points with his finger, right? How many times has Biden pointed his finger and said, if you get the jab, you won't get virus. And he demonizes those that are unvaccinated. I won't raise your taxes one penny. Liar. So.
That was a good find.
Did you mention
anything there? Anything in the Bible about the Secret Service Easter Bunny?
Something in wolf's clothing?
I don't know.
A sheep in wolf's clothing or a wolf in sheep's clothing? That's it. A wolf in sheep's clothing.
A wolf and bunny fur.
A wolf and bunny,
This is something about an Easter bunny.
Oh, my God.
The president from going snippy sniff with kids and forcing him to go somewhere else.
And you get so tired of saying this, but, if Trump would have reacted in that fashion, how often did we hear about the mental acuity of Trump, his mental stability, and nothing? The media is absolutely silent, and we're watching one embarrassing episode after another with this guy.
Demanding. Yeah, they'd be demanding a test. They'd have every expert on TV 24/7 talking about dementia, and that Trump has dementia. It would be so nonstop. They could destroy the man, but the press is silent with Biden because they're protecting him, just like they're protecting Laptop Hunter.
Oh my God. Oh, I didn't get to the, next week I've got that, I have a Sky News video, and I want to thank Sue for that, with the Sky News video. Oh, my God. This, Sky News just does it. 6 minutes, but she, the idiot gets it. Absolutely gets it. Uh-oh,
yeah.
Hey, Sue, did you put your hand up again?
I just want to know, have any of you found out where Jill Biden is?
So,
don't you think it's strange? I mean, he's out there, he's giving speeches, he goes to shake hands, nobody will. I mean, it just happened again a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
Where's Jill Biden? She always used to be there. Why are they keeping Jill Biden away? What's going on?
I don't know. Well, the doctor of education, Jill Biden, she was at the Easter thing, the Easter egg rolling.
Oh, she was. See that. So she did come out.
Yeah, my wife pointed out to me.
But you're right. She has been absent. You're absolutely right.
Well,
at least
she's out for that. It just makes you wonder what's going on. Anyway, I'm sorry to have interrupted.
No. Stay on.
Yes.
We're just sitting here chewing the.
I'm sorry I just kind of ranted too, but
no,
apologize. What's happening with Putin, people better wake up because it's what's going to happen to us here in the United States. And these sanctions have only hurt, the West is who they have hurt. And then you look at Germany, putting in with China and Russia, which that's exactly what they're doing. Some of the weaponry that Putin is getting is German, is coming from Germany through Turkey. I mean, if you start looking into this stuff, it's pretty scary. And how can Ukraine win with Germany doing this? And in two world wars, Germany was basically, you know, part of why it started. They've always been on the wrong side of history. They hated Trump. Trump warned them, told them not to do what they're doing, and look what he did. But, you know, a lot of these vlogs, the reason sugar went up a little bit in Ukraine is because in the beginning of the sanctions, they panicked, the Germans, I mean the Russians, and they bought out, you know, the sugar, and so the shelves were kind of empty. But now they've got their sugar back, and by the way, Russia doesn't grow sugar, so where is all their sugar coming from? Sugar-producing countries, think about that. Where are they getting all of this, you know? But their sugar, they pay $1.50 about for a pound of sugar over there now. And a lot of these vlogs are going in and they're showing the grocery shelves. And I have to pay, and I can't even get it, distilled water for my oxygen, you know, equipment. I have to have distilled water, and usually I can't get it. And when I can, it's almost now 60% higher than what it was, distilled water. And, you know, when the shoppers go to the store for me, there's so much that they can't get. You know, the store shelves are empty. And that's here in Colorado. So I don't know how it is in the rest of the United States, but I am paying at least 50% or higher on what I used to buy even just a year ago. Mm-hmm. And here in Russia, they're getting their food and everything so cheap. Their shelves are full, you know, and Biden said Putin caused our gas to hike up. No, the sanctions caused our gas to hike up is what happened.
But the media, Sue's being quiet about it and not riling up the people. And the people don't even realize. I mean, they know the prices are going up because every time you go to the pump, and everybody's affected by it, but nobody is. No one's riled up anymore. Because the media is quiet.
The slaughter of civilians and children and women, pregnant women, and, you know, the way the Russian bloggers are getting a lot of the information out, because YouTube and everything, Instagram has been banned in Russia, and now they have a 20-year jail sentence, but these people are pretty dang brave, and they're using what you call a VPN to go around, and they're all, the ones who have remained in Russia are facing, you know, a lot happening to them, you know, once they catch up to them and them getting this information out. A lot of the Russians have gone to Uzbekistan and continue to vlog. They're close enough to the Russian border that they can still go in, get out, and get information out. But I don't know. And, you know, I just have to ask you, Alice, Vito, to ask you, why do you dislike Zelensky so much?
Well, he's corrupt, and it's not. I don't think there's a good player in any of this, the Ukrainian or the Russian side. I don't think there's a shining knight on either side. I think they're both not good. But
you say he's corrupt. What do you base this on? The Pandora Papers?
I don't know what those are, but I just base it on Burisma because he was in the middle of that. He knew what was happening, and the fact that he brought in a Biden. He brought Zelensky. When Giuliani went to Ukraine to try and get the goods on Hunter and Burisma, Zelensky brought in a Biden operative, or a big Democrat player, to guide him on who Mayor Giuliani is and his politics and Trump. And so he's been on the Democrat side, in my opinion. I could be wrong. So that's kind of where I base my opinion on, are those two stories. But I tell you, if it's between Zelensky and a Marxist son of a bitch like Putin, I want Zelensky armed to the teeth so he can make Putin's roll through Ukraine as bloody and painful as possible.
I kind of see that. You know, Zelensky wasn't in power. He wasn't elected until, 2019, and was just getting, you know, his feet under him. As far as being in with Burisma and Biden and all of that, he wasn't in power when all of that was going on.
He was there at the tail end.
Look at Trump. He came in and he was at the tail end in the beginning of a lot of things. When you get people like this who are not political and they don't know, you know, they're feeling their way around, you know, they're not true politicians, they make a lot of mistakes. You know, Trump made a mistake with Fauci. You know, he made his share of mistakes, and he talks about it in some of his books, and Don, his son, talks about it in his books. They're going to make mistakes. The thing is with Zelensky, right, and I tell you one thing, Zelensky does not like Biden. Biden has abandoned him, and should Zelensky prevail, he's going to go after Biden. I guarantee you that. Anyway, I'm sorry, I'm taking over again. I didn't mean to.
Oh, no. No, it's interesting. I'm not really passionate. As events change, my views will change with the events, if that makes any sense. So I'm kind of watching and learning as it goes along.
You know, but doesn't it bother anybody, all these people being massacred? I mean, they just found another grave, and they found this through satellite imaging of 500 civilians, women, children, men, elderly, who are in a mass grave, who were executed, hands tied, shot in the head.
Hey, war's dirty business. War is nasty, evil, and bloody. And
you didn't even see this in World War II to this extent.
Oh, you saw worse. You saw what the Ukrainians did to the Jews in World War II? Whoa.
I have to tell you something.
With the Nazis.
My father told me a story.
The Jews and what was going on there, but this is just civilians. It's not Jews. It's not anything. World War II, you had the Nazis who were going specifically against the Jews. And yes, in Ukraine, the Nazis in Ukraine were some of the very, very worst. But what's going on now, it, regardless of anything, it's not religious. It's not the Jews. It's not anything. It's submission by killing civilians. You either submit to us or we will kill you.
That's war.
I mean, it boggles me.
It's been that way
me.
For
it's
time
horrible.
Immemorial. Oh, it is horrible. There's no question it's horrible. But that's how you break the will of the people. We fight by a different code, but that's what makes the Russians, gosh, their history of what they did to their own people, Lenin, Marx, oh my God. They killed Stalin. They killed millions of their own people. They're brutal bastards.
The same with China. And, you know, you might want to keep an eye on China right now, you know, the COVID lockdown.
Yeah.
Late last night, I got a piece from China, and they locked down all of these people, and China right now has a severe food shortage, with Russia, all of the food they have, will they be sending them food? But with all of the lockdown, with what they call this COVID number, 19-2, there have only been 3 deaths, 3. And they're locking these people down. They're starving. There's no food, and this is exactly what the Democrats love, and I think they'll try it.
No, I agree with you 100% on that.
Anyway, I'll be quiet now. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I got to go eat. No. I got to go eat some dinner.
Well stated there, Sue. Thank you for bringing.
Good point.
For coming on and shedding some more light on this whole thing. You know what? It's good because I'm kind of lost with it. I'm having a hard time with trying to take an opinion on this, other than I feel for the Ukrainian people, and the Klitschko brothers have sold me on the fact of being a nationalist, a Ukrainian nationalist. So you take care of yourself. Thank you for calling in today, and we always want to hear from you. So, and setting out straight.
All the extra information is good, and I appreciate it because it helps me informing my opinion. So thank you.
You're welcome, and I love you, Al. You know I do.
I love you too. You're the bomb.
I spend a lot of time looking into this and trying to go to really off sources, so that I know what is going on. And what's going to happen to the U.S. dollar is going to be one of the worst things that has happened due to the Ukrainian war.
No, without a doubt.
Yeah, that's something to definitely follow. And thanks for thanks for bringing that to attention. We didn't get to it last week because Gotti was on, but definitely going to watch that. And especially with the news now coming out that the Russians are going to force the ruble payments for oil and coal. We have to see when that comes to fruition, but this is going to be interesting. This is something that's not talked about. And this is another Biden globalist appointment. It's just they appointed this guy, they anointed this guy for a reason, and we're seeing happening with China aligning with Russia. So I gotta go to
say who it is. It's not Biden, it's Obama.
Yes, correct.
Your last show I liked it. It's not Biden. Biden is gone. He's been gone for years. When you say it's Biden, people look at this frail, stupid man. It's not Biden. It's Obama. Say it like it is.
That's exactly right, Joe Obama. I love that. I love the salty cracker, Joe Obama. He's absolutely right.
Joe Mama.
All right.
Bye.
Have a good one.
All right. Have a great week, Sue.
That's all, folks.
Have a nice evening. Thank you for using Block Talk
Radio.
Goodbye.